This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
This morning, Matthew chapter 19, and it reads like this, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee, and he came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan." Verse 2 says, "And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there." I want to preach this morning with the help of the Lord, beyond Jordan. Beyond Jordan. Let's put our hands together one more time. Let's worship the Lord with all of our hearts and all of our strength. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your presence that's so near. Lord, I know, mighty God, that you've given me a word for this church, and I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice. I pray that they would respond. Lord, I know that hell is raging. I know the enemy wants us defeated, but I know, Lord, without a shadow of a doubt, hell will not prevail this morning. I said hell will not prevail this morning. We will fight. We will labor. We will press our way until we touch the throne room of God. Anybody here going to help me this morning? Anybody here ready to press their way through? Anybody here ready to go beyond Jordan this morning? Come on, clap your hands unto the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Sometime in June, I think it was the last week of June, I was trying to find some good Bible reading. I had just finished a book, and I just wanted to, was trying to just figure out where to go next. You ever do that? You know, you've read the Bible a lot, and you just kind of wanting to know God. Where should I start reading? And so I can't say that I heard the voice of the Lord right then, but I just decided to go back and start at Matthew chapter 1 and start reading the Gospels again. You know, after all, I am aspiring to be a good preacher, and I figure what better way for me to get some training than to go through those Gospels and start thinking and listening and reading again the words of Jesus Christ, who in my opinion is the greatest preacher of all time. Matter of fact, there was a writer that said it well. It said, "Never a man spake like this man." So I kind of started going back through the Gospels and started reading in Matthew chapter 1 in it. I was just kind of going through there. And one morning, I remember it well, I was reading through this chapter, Matthew chapter 19. It was on June 25th. And we was kind of having a safety meeting, and we had a little bit of downtime. So I just decided, as I often do when we got downtime, I pick up my phone and I begin to read this portion of Scripture. Now, I'm telling you, I wasn't in prayer. I tell you, I wasn't in probably the right atmosphere. I was just on the job going to casually read through Scripture. And all of a sudden, God spoke to me as we was waiting to start the job. God ever spoke to you like that before? And so I was expecting just to read through this chapter, just to kind of go through these verses casually. But all of a sudden, I felt a check in the Lord to read this slowly. And so I did. And verse 1, it said, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings." So I stopped right there. These sayings. What are you trying to talk to me about? I stopped and I paused for a few moments. And I said, "What sayings? I know I just read, but did I miss something, God? What did I miss right here?" And so I went back. I had to go back to chapter 18 because I wanted to know what Jesus had just got finished saying. So I went back to chapter 18, and it starts off, the very first verse starts off by his disciples asking Jesus. They wanted to know, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus, he goes, grabs a child. I wish I had a child with me. I don't want to embarrass a child, but he goes, grab this child. And the first words out of his mouth we find was this in verse 3 of Matthew chapter 18. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, no one, he said, can enter the kingdom of heaven except they be converted. We all understand this. We know what conversion is. If you don't know what conversion is, you can find it in Acts chapter 2. You can find it in John chapter 3 because it says, "Except ye be born of the water and be born of the Spirit, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Can I get amen? Amen. So there has to be a change. Jesus is saying there has to be a conversion. There has to be an humbling. There has to be a transformation. Easy enough, but I just kept on reading. Okay, God, you're telling me I got to be converted. I got to become as a child. Jesus said in verse 4, whomsoever therefore shall humble themselves as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This is perfect timing for this message because we're fixing to have Vacation Bible School. We're fixing to gather up children as much as we can and pack them in that surge hall because we understand the concept that revival can start not only with adults, not with our elders, not with young people, but can start as a little child because Jesus said that except we become a little child, we will not be converted. Amen? We will not see the kingdom of heaven. So we understand that. So I just kept on reading. Jesus talked about the importance of reaching and helping children. And then in the next few verses, this is the saying now. These are the sayings that he had just finished in chapter 19. He says in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 18, he says, if your hand, what is he saying there? What are you trying to speak to us, God? He said, what you cling to. He says, if your hand, what you grab a hold of, what you indulge in. Or he said, if your feet or if your foot, what you where you go or the path that you travel or where you walk and step. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Jesus is speaking these words. He says, if your feet or if your hand, if these cause you to stumble and sin, it will be wise for you to cut off those members. Is that not what he said in verse 8? He said, it will be wise for you to cut them off rather than to be cast into everlasting fire. And then he continues in verse 9. He says, if your eye, what you look at, your perspective, what you admire, what you seek after, your eye, if it offends you, you better get a hold of your hands. You better get a hold of your feet. You better get a hold of your eyes. Let me just tell you, he was saying you better get a hold of your flesh because it can lead you into some places you don't want to go. He said you better get it fixed. So I just kept on reading. Okay, God, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. He's finishing these sayings and he keeps on going. Jesus said, you got to be converted. I hear you, God. You got to become like a child and humble yourself. I say that. I say amen to that, Lord. You got to get control of yourself. And God was preaching to me there. Okay, God, I understand that. I've got to remove some things. I've got to let go of some things. I've got to not walk after the flesh. I've got to seek the kingdom of God. I've got to look up to Jesus and keep my eyes fastened on him. Boy, I wish I had some help this morning because I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Then Jesus starts talking now. It gets a little bit deeper now. Because now in verse 12, he starts really preaching. Kind of what Brother Donnie led us into this morning. If you weren't in this early morning session, I want to just kind of pick up what he was talking about. Because Jesus said these words in this passage. Verse 12, he says, how think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth not he leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray. Jesus is preaching here now. Jesus is saying, be converted. Jesus is saying, become as a child. Jesus is saying, if your eyes offend you, if your hands offend you, if your feet offend you, cast it off. Jesus is saying all these things. Now he said, I want people to go reach for the lost. I want people to leave the 99 and go after that one that is dying and lost. That's what he's preaching in this passage. And it gets a little bit deeper because Jesus continues on. I don't have time to cover the whole chapter, but let me just kind of go to another passage there. In verses 15 through 17, Jesus is talking about how to handle a brother. He talks about how to handle a brother if he wrongs you. He says, you need to settle it privately. Oh, I know it's quiet now. I knew it was really going to be quiet at this part. He says, if that doesn't work, he said, read it for yourselves in verses 15 through 17. He said, if that doesn't work, why don't you try and get some good people around you? Get two or three witnesses and let's talk about this matter. Let's try and solve this in a Christian manner, a Christian way. Jesus is talking about that. He says, and if that doesn't work, what did he say? He said, go to the house of God. Huh? Go to the temple. If you've got some matters between your brother, you've got all between your brother, the best place to find peace and the best place where you can get along with each other is in this house that we're in this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to get in trouble for this statement. But you don't need to post it all over Facebook. Huh? You don't need to spread it all over the internet. Whoa, somebody ought to be shouting right there. My God, I'm going to shout for that right now. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, there ought to be some things we settle in this place. Amen. Not outside in the world. We don't need to broadcast it all over the airways. I'll leave that alone for a few moments. But this is what Jesus was preaching here. This is what he was saying. He says, if you can be converted, if you can humble ourselves and keep ourselves walking right and focused, if we can keep reaching for that one that is lost, if we can handle our conflicts within, not without, and the problems within this body correctly. So Jesus is talking about all these things in chapter 18. What's next, Jesus? Then he says, if we can handle all these things, look at the next verses. He says, verse 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say unto you, if that two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, and it shall be done for them. I said it shall be done for them. He says, of my Father which is in heaven. For where two are three, key words, are gathered together. In my name, there am I in the midst of them. So Jesus now is talking about how we've got to come together. How that there's power. We have authority. I talked about that last Sunday morning, about the power and the authority that comes from God, about humbling yourselves, and that God has given us some power. God has given us some authority. He has given us the power to bind some things and to loose some things. Amen. And so now, he gets a little bit deeper. Verses 22 through 35 of Matthew chapter 18. He starts talking in 13 verses about the importance of forgiving those that have wronged us. Peter asks, how many times should I forgive? In verse 21. And Jesus replied, until 70 times 7. 490 times. That's how many times you need to forgive somebody. That's a lot of times. We'll never get to 490 times. I need to learn to forgive some people. You need to learn to forgive some people. You need to let go of some things. Amen? Wait, Jesus. This is what you're saying here in Matthew chapter 18. So let's go back now. This is all what he preached about in chapter 18. Jesus finishes saying, now he departs. And the key words here, let's read the scripture again. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, pause. So that's what Jesus was talking about. Now he says, he departed from Galilee. What does that mean? Where was Jesus from? Where was Jesus from? He was from Nazareth. Where was Nazareth? It was located in Galilee. Did you know that Nazareth, interpreted, means the guarded one, the guarded city? Jesus here, leaving his surroundings, leaving the town he was grown up in, the region that he was located in, Jesus leaves his hometown. He leaves his family. He just got finished preaching. He leaves his neighborhood. He leaves his comfort zone. The place that's so familiar. This town meaning guarded one. Where does he go? Read it. The scripture says the next part of that scripture says he goes into the coast of Judea. Every one of us understand what a coastline is. Huh? We all live near the Gulf Coast. The Bible says Jesus is headed to the coast, the place where there is waves crashing. There's no trees there. There's no protection there. Waves are crashing. Wind is blowing. Storms are brewing. We know how quickly a storm can brew. We've seen it yesterday in this region. We're so close to the Gulf that a storm can just come up all of a sudden. So now Jesus is leaving his comfort zone. He's leaving this guarded city. He's leaving this place that the Bible describes it, and historians say that was protected by limestone walls. He leaves this surrounding and he goes into the coast where the wind is blowing and the waves are crashing and storms are brewing and there's rocky ledges all around. This is a huge contrast from a guarded city. And Jesus went along the stretch of ground that was away from the calmness of Nazareth, the city that was protected by limestone hills, to a place that was unprotected, out in the open, beyond Jordan. But Jesus didn't make that journey by himself. There were some other people that got out of their comfort zone. There were some other people that got out of that guarded city. There was people that heard that message, heard all about what he said, about being converted, about becoming as a child, how you got to forgive your brother, how that you have power in heaven and in earth. They remember all the words that he said, and yet they still followed because they realized, hey, there's something beyond Jordan. And the Bible says in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 19, he says, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Now I'm going to start preaching. I know why God told me to read chapter 18 again. And why chapter 19 and 1 was leaping off the pages at me. Because after these people were converted, and after these people humbled themselves, and after they began to realize they've got to reach their city and reach for the lost, and whenever they begin to forgive one another, and when they were gathered together in His name, these people were now ready to leave that comfort zone, leave that place that was so familiar to them, and follow God into a place that was beyond Jordan. They were willing to follow God to a place that they could receive their miracle. I believe God is speaking to this church right now. I believe He's ready to do something miraculous. I want to tell you, I believe God is ready to do something supernatural. I believe God is ready to do something extraordinary. I believe it's Jesus that's telling us, it's time to follow me beyond Jordan. It's time to get out of our comfort zone. It's time to get out of those pews. It's time for us to reach a place in God that's beyond Jordan, beyond all comprehension, beyond what our mind and heart may conceive. Amen. I wonder if there's anybody under the sound of my voice, you're ready to go. You're ready to travel. You're ready to leave this comfort zone and go beyond Jordan. Clap your hands unto the Lord right now if you believe it. Hallelujah. We've heard some mighty messages in this pulpit. We've heard the preaching of the Word of God. We know what we should do. I want to tell somebody today, sinner, it's time for you to get converted. Amen. Proud heart, it's time to humble yourself. I'm going to get on your avenue here in a minute. Amen. Hands, it's time to worship. Feet, it's time for you to start learning to dance a little bit. Eyes, it's time for you to get off the problems of this world and start looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I'm trying to preach to somebody. It's time for you to go beyond Jordan. It's time for you to get out of Galilee. It's time for you to get out of Nazareth. It's time for you to start reaching for something that's just ahead. God is trying to tell you, come on, follow me to Jordan. Come on, follow me to a coast. Come on, come along the coastline where the wind's blowing. Come on, I know it's going to be rough. I know there's going to be waves crashing. I know the wind's going to be blowing, but I want to tell you, if you'll follow me beyond Jordan, you'll get healed there. I want to tell you a miracle's just around the corner. I want to tell you a breakthrough's just around the corner. But it's not in Galilee, and it's not in Nazareth. I want to tell you it's beyond Jordan. I want to tell you it's beyond Jordan. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish I had somebody that's ready to stand up and say, I'm ready to go, preacher. I'm ready to follow you, Jesus. I'm tired of living the ordinary life. I want something supernatural. If you feel like I do, won't you put your hands together for the Lord right now? Hallelujah. Feet, it's time to walk. Church, it's time to unite. It's time to forgive and forget. It's time to move. Somebody come with me beyond Jordan's. For everyone that listened to Jesus and followed Him along that coastline, the Bible says He healed them there. There are some miracles and there are some breakthroughs. They're always going to be beyond Jordan. It's when God stretches us. It's when God puts us to the test. We don't like the test. We don't like the trials. But it's in that moment in time when God starts stretching us. When we start questioning things and we're unaware of our surroundings. And you know what it does? It gets us to a place where we stop depending on music. And we stop depending on our own abilities and our own talents. We stop depending on our parents and even our pastor. And we start saying, okay, God, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know what I'm doing here, Lord. I want to get out. Sometime like the disciples, after Jesus left, a lot of times they went back to the same old life they knew. They went back fishing. They went back working and doing all those things. And that's what we do in our everyday life. Probably Monday morning, you're going to go back on the job site. You're going to do what you want to do. But I'm trying to preach to somebody. Don't go back to that job site the same way that you did last Monday. I want to tell you, go back there knowing that you've reached and grabbed a hold of something. Go beyond Jordan. Go past the norm. Get out of the boat. Whatever you've got to do. I want to tell somebody this morning, God is speaking to you to go beyond Jordan to find the answers. So now, Jesus is telling us today to find that place. Maybe you feel like the Israelites did. Let's go to another story found in Joshua. Moses has died. We all know this story, most of us. God's people have been wandering around for 40 years. Now Joshua and Caleb was in this crowd. And now they're coming. Moses is dead, a time of transition, a time of uncertainty. And now God is ready to give them the promised land. But the people don't see it yet. And the land now, just over that river now, that land is flowing with milk and honey. But all they can see is giants. All they can remember is those tales 40 years ago about how there were giants and that there were walled cities. And that's in the back of their mind. But also in the back of the mind, they remember grapes that were carried out of that land, where two men had to carry just one cluster of grapes. And so they know something just around the horizon. And now they're looking now. They've come to this brink in their life, in this stage in their life, where now Joshua sits them down. You got to read through these chapters. I don't have the time to go through there. But you know what? It's amazing to me how the writer there, Joshua, could have wrote all these words in one chapter. He could have done it all in one verse. He could have said, okay, we came to the brink of the river. And we consecrated ourselves. We got our hearts right. We humbled ourselves. We forgave one another. He could have said all those things in one chapter, maybe one verse. And we got all together and we fasted and prayed and we watched that river for 3 days. And all of a sudden we just went over and we conquered the land. That's not how it happened. It was a few chapters. It was a couple of days before they sat there. These Israelites, they stared at that river. And the Bible says, if you read in those chapters, it said at that time the river was overflowing. It wasn't a small stream. It was a rushing current. And I can see those Israelites and I can relate to them now. They 40 years, they've been wandering around the wilderness. 40 years, they probably heard Joshua preaching, hey, there's coming a day, folks. Well, we're gonna get in a land. We're going to go into a land where it's going to be flowing with milk and honey. There's coming a day, folks. We're going to eat of grapes that are bigger than the eyes. You cannot imagine. I've seen it. I've been over there. And so for 40 years, they've been hearing this message. But they've been going round and round in circles. For 40 years, the Israelites just going. They got themselves in a rut. We can pass this mountain one more time. And all the while, Joshua and Caleb saying, hey, there's something beyond Jordan. Hey, there's something beyond the river. And they've been hearing this for 40 days. And now they can pass this mountain for 40 years. Now they're watching this stream as it's overflowing and the current is flowing. But all of a sudden, Joshua says, okay, prepare you this day. Prepare you this day. Because we're going over. I tell you, with the spirit of Joshua that's on me right now, the same anointing that Joshua had, I want to tell you, it's on me today. I've heard from the Lord. I've heard from the Lord for this church. And know what the Spirit is saying? You've stared at that river long enough. You can pass that mountain many, many times. And you've gotten yourself in a rut. But I hear the Spirit saying, hey, just beyond Jordan, there's miracles for you. Hey, just beyond Jordan, I don't care if it's overflowing. I don't care what the circumstances is. I want to tell somebody today, as Joshua told those Israelites, there is a miracle just beyond Jordan. Oh, yeah, I know there's Jericho. I know there's Ai. I know there's Gibeon. I know there's going to be battles. But I want to tell you that we've got more for us than they that be against us. And I want to tell somebody today, I believe somebody under the sound of my voice, you're going to catch the revelation after a while. You're going to say, hey, I know we're going to have revival. Hey, I know we're going to have restoration. Why? Because I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. I'm tired of looking at this river. I'm tired of looking at this current. I'm tired of looking at these walls. Hey, I'm going over with you, Joshua. I'm going beyond Jordan. Oh, somebody ought to be standing on their feet right now rejoicing, because I want to tell you, your miracle is just beyond Jordan today. Clap your hands unto the Lord right now. Hallelujah. I want to ask you some questions this morning. What is keeping you from crossing Jordan? What is keeping you from crossing Jordan? As we stand together this morning. If you're waiting to be converted, what you waiting on? The baptistry's ready. The altars are open. If you want to find joy and peace and rest, I want to tell you, it's always going to be when you go into a stream. How many can remember that day when you was lost and undone and confused and misguided, and all of a sudden you stood in a place like many have stood before? You stood up off the brink of a river. And you knew, you didn't know what the future held. All you knew, the preacher said, you got to go into the water. But all of a sudden, as you stepped into the water, something got a hold of you, didn't it? Huh? Something got a hold of you, didn't you? All those sins and all those past mistakes and all those memories were washed away. And God forgave you and baptized you with His Spirit, no doubt in the baptistry, or maybe it was later on. But you have discovered in your years of serving the Lord, there's so much more beyond Jordan. Hallelujah. There's so much more beyond the baptistry. Amen. There's so much more beyond repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Yes, I believe it. Yes, I preach it. Yes, I shout about it. But I want to tell you, there's so much more than being converted. There's so much more than the baptistry. There's so much more than even the power of the Holy Ghost. God is trying to take us somewhere, church. God is wants to take us beyond Jordan.